Good morning and welcome to this, our service of Holy Communion on this gloriously sunshiny day. Isn't it a wonderful day to be here? It is cooler in here than it is outside, but it's still a pretty warm day in here. It's lovely to be able to welcome you all here to our service. Before we begin, I do have a couple of notices. The first one, which I will do right now so that it doesn't get forgotten, is that I once again have the privilege of publishing some bans of marriage. And so I publish the bans of marriage between Aaron Jeffrey Michael Fox, single of this parish, and Joanne Nicole Fountain, single and also of this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If you know of any reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now. As we have no objections to this couple pursuing holy matrimony, let us hold them in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for Aaron and Joanne as they prepare to get married, asking that you will bless them in their preparations and grow their relationship in you. We ask, Lord, that they may know your peace and your calmness as they begin this new chapter in their lives together. Amen. The first of my notices is to say that during the coming week, we are starting something a little bit new. You might have seen this in your newsletter already, but one of the things which the clergy are required to do each day is to say morning and evening prayer. Now, we can do this privately in our own homes, but then none of you know whether we're actually doing it. And so I think it's very helpful on the days of the week where I am able to come in and do morning and evening prayer during the week. And those of you that would like to are more than welcome to come along and join me. Morning prayer will be at Holy Trinity at 8:30 in the morning. And evening prayer will be right here in St. Margaret's at 5 o'clock. We're starting with these times for now, but if anyone says, I would really like to come, but it would help me if it was at a different time, we'll explore and see what we can do. But for the first couple of weeks, we'll try these timings. And if you want to come, wonderful. If you don't want to come, please know that each morning, Monday through Thursday, here or in Holy Trinity, I, at the very least, will be praying for each and every one of you. My second notice, which is something that some vicars might put in their sermons, but I don't think really belongs in a sermon. I think that sermons are for learning more about the Bible, learning more about our faith, and being encouraged by the scriptures. And so what I want to just say briefly is that when I came for my interview, I was asked to present a 5-year plan for what was going to happen. Now, I don't have a 5-year plan for what's going to happen. I said, I don't know what the world is going to throw at us. We might have another pandemic. AI is changing things, culture is going to keep on developing, and obviously we're all very aware of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. We don't know what's going to come, but I do know who I will be within that time. I will be a man of prayer, and I will come alongside you, and I will do my best to listen for where God is and seek a path out together. And so the first part of that journey, the next 3 to 6 months or so, I really want to get to know each and every one of you, and I want to hear from you 2 key things. So please be thinking about these before we have a conversation like tea or coffee or one-on-one at another time. I would like to know what your hopes are for the future of this parish and this church, and I would like to know what your fears are. What are you scared that I might come in and break or change in a way that you're not happy with? I'm not promising that I won't do those things. But I would like to know so that together we can explore what is God saying to us to do next. So that hopefully by the time we come to the new year, we'll have a bit more of an idea as to where we're going. I could have put that in the sermon, but I think it's far better to just be transparent and open with you now. But let us remember we are indeed here in the presence of God. And just before we stand and sing our first hymn, can I ask any children who are going out to Tiger Club to please wave at me? Wave? Wonderful. If you look back, you can see them waving in the back corner. before they go out to their tiger club, I just want to say a quick prayer for them and all that they're doing while we're having our service in here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy and curiosity of all of those who are part of Tiger Club. We pray that as they go out and they do their activities and their reflections, that you will give them a good time. May they have good times of friendship with one another, but also with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So let us stand and sing our first hymn, which is number 13, All People That On Earth Do Dwell. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all of it is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect for this, the third Sunday of Trinity. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, beginning to read at verse 8. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son, whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham, was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then set her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is Romans chapter 6, beginning to read at the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let us stand and respond to these scriptures by singing our next hymn, number 1199. Christ has made the sure foundation. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus says, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, and I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. To be a pilgrim is to step into the known unknown. No matter how familiar you might be with the way before you, or how thoroughly you have made your preparations, when you commit yourself to stepping out in faith to encounter the untamed divine freedom of God, you step out into the unknown. For God, in his freedom, is immeasurably greater than we can even begin to comprehend. And when we mortals encounter God, indeed dare to walk with God, our lives can change beyond anything we might have anticipated. The longer that I am here amongst you, the more you'll detect a fondness for Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. But the quote from Bilbo to his nephew Frodo captures this sense wonderfully. "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you'll be swept off to." This is true for us in so many ways. There are so many doors in our lives that we can step through, physical and personal choices that we make each and every day. And beyond them, we may well have plans and expectations. But we all know that life has a knack of throwing the unexpected our way. Sometimes surprises can be satisfying. You find yourself in the post office, bumping into a friend you haven't seen for donkey's years. You catch up and reminisce about people and places that at one point made up so much of your life. Wow, it's a small world after all. Maybe you receive a positive email about work, or you'll hear some good family news. Perhaps you'll have the serendipity for every single traffic light you approach to to turn green just in time, making your journey in record time. Yet traffic lights can turn red, emails can be frustrating, and chance encounters with awkward neighbours or unwelcome in-laws can derail our days. Stepping through doors can be a dangerous business. Indeed, my fellow pilgrims, this morning we have each stepped through those doors right there, coming into the church. And having done so, we have been confronted by some difficult readings of Scripture. Hagar, the slave woman, spurned by the man to whom she had been given by his wife, collapses in tears in the wilderness, sorrowful for the impending death of her son Ishmael. Paul, writing as succinctly as he can, uses a few words to express weighty and powerful realities which even a shelfload of books are unable to fully unpack, such is the richness of his nuanced yet bold proclamations. Jesus, the one whom when we look upon his face, we see the revelation of God himself, speaks uncompromisingly of judgment, hell, division, and even of losing our lives. Perhaps it was a mistake to come today. Perhaps this was a door through which we should not have walked. And yet, the door through which we have walked together has shown us the reality of the world through which we have travelled ourselves. The Scriptures are not strangers to difficult things. More than this, if we have eyes with which to see and ears with which to hear, we might notice that we are not the only ones who step through the doors. For God himself passes through and onto these difficult paths. Hagar's son's cries are heard by the Lord, and an angel opens her eyes and shows her a well of water. They are saved, and God was with the boy as he grew up. Jesus' words, listened to carefully, are words which recognize the darkness of the world around his disciples, but offers genuine hope within it. So have no fear of those who malign you and me, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the rooftops. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. These scenes reveal to us the familiar yet all too often unappreciated reality of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. No matter how dark and difficult the path may be, faith tells us that no matter what lies ahead, God is already there. This is the significance of Jesus' words in today's gospel reading. The world may hate you, but it hates you because it hates him. And rather than Jesus leaving you alone to fend for yourself, he promises that he will be right there with you, so long as you continue to acknowledge him before others. For everyone who acknowledges Jesus before others, Jesus will also acknowledge before his Father in heaven. That is, Jesus is praying for us. He is rooting for us to succeed in our pilgrimages through life as we take up our crosses and follow him. This should encourage us as we head out through those church doors back out into the world. We recognize that although the world at large and within the confines of our own lives can be filled with troubles and adversities, with Constantine, we sally forth, confident of conquering the world by the power of the cross. Yet the cross is not simply an emblematic talisman of victory against our enemies. Rather, it is the essential medicine which restores our souls by the blood of Christ, such that we can have a victory over a far more significant foe than anyone we might meet out there. The powers of sin and death at work within our very selves. It is of this that Paul is writing in Romans 6, where he addresses the reality of sin for all human beings. It's common these days for us to think of sin as moral failings of varying degrees, and even more common, it seems, to think of moral failings as being understandable. Because we can understand them, we can explain them. And because we can explain them, we can explain them away. And yet, explaining something away is not the same as forgiveness. And although moral failings are sins, sin is more than simply our moral wrongdoings. It is the seemingly inevitable and barely perceptible engine of entropic decay, which results from reality not being rightly aligned with its divine creator. That is, with the fall of Adam, all of creation was spiritually knocked off kilter, and it is continually drifting through decay towards its total dissolution and destruction, what we call death. And this affects all of creation to such an extent that we can no more force ourselves to be in alignment with God than we can change the orbit of the earth around the sun by jumping up and down, even if we all jump at the same time. Sin, in this sense, is kind of like a spiritual gravity, which seeks always to tempt us to lower our gaze from Jesus, to focus on our own lives and issues. The law, therefore, was put in place to enable people to seek God's face by trying to be aligned with his heart and journeying with him all of the days of their lives. But even so, this did not undo the influence and consequence of sin. Namely, in Adam, all entered the way which decays into death. Rather than accepting this, God has always sought to provide a pathway for restoration, a healing not just for you and me and for all humanity, but for creation itself, for reality itself to be put back on its proper foundation, secured by his own love. As such, God himself stepped through the most amazing of doors onto the most deadly of paths. God was born as a baby boy to a virgin called Mary. He grew up to be called Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. Jesus walked, he talked, he healed, and he taught. He prayed and he proclaimed the good news that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Then he was arrested under the cover of darkness, unjustly accused and sentenced to death upon the cross, walking a lonely road with conviction. As he was nailed to the beams of wood and lifted high, the full weight of sin, both of our collective moral failings and also the angst of a creation which has had its bones broken and healed in a mismatched place, hung upon him on the cross. The full weight of sin, of death, and of the selfish glee of the devil, trapped him. Yet even then, it could not claim him. For if we read the scriptures carefully, we notice that Christ voluntarily gives up his spirit and submitted himself even to death upon the cross. In that moment, it seemed as though even the fullness of God was insufficient to restore creation. It was a moment which lingered 3 painful days, until in the tomb where Jesus was laid, his dead heart began once again to beat with a rhythm which has danced unendingly ever since. With a gasp, he took in the first breath of new life and emerged from the tomb, witnessed only by the angels. And he lives now a life beyond decay, a life which shall never again be touched by the stain of death. In that moment, He was established as the single unifying point of all reality, tipping the balance such that all of creation now groans with the birth pangs of the new creation. Jesus is the eternally living and present one, who pours out God's love into our hearts by the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we too may taste the first fruits of this new creation, this undoing of death and decay, and experience the promise of eternal life, freed from sin, freed to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so Paul writes in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So each of you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Or as Jesus says in John 10, chapter, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture, find all that he needs." Let us therefore this morning reflect afresh on our faith and choose to come to the Lord's table, stepping out in faith to the known unknown, knowing that the one who loves us calls us into his presence. Let us be curious to see how his love will change us and our lives forever. Amen.
And now for our prayers. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church today, we thank you for sending us Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for hearing our prayers. First, a prayer for Samuel, our new vicar, and Linnea, his wife. Wonderful God, we pray for Samuel, our newly appointed vicar. We thank you for him and his wife, Linnea. And we pray that you will bless them in their ministry in Penn and Tyler's Green. May their arrival among us be fruitful and joyful. Give us the grace to grow in faith and love as we welcome them both. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for freedom from sin. We praise you for the forgiveness of our sins through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and by faith in Jesus to cease our old sinful ways. Help us to accept and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, by sharing God's message of love with everyone around us. Help us to be kind to one another and to encourage others, perhaps here for the first time, to discover Jesus in our neighborhood and in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for leaders, especially our own. We pray for our world leaders at this dangerous time, that they will use their immense power to do good and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating wars, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Let there be peace and reconciliation in our world, and let love overcome mistrust and conflict. We pray especially today for the end of the brutal war in Ukraine and the threats of new global conflicts and famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those who are unwell or convalescing. We pray that those who are precious to us, especially those who are suffering from illness, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement, help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with our responses to their difficulties. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet. Dear Corinne Summers, recovering in Churchill Hospital after surgery to remove a cancerous tumour. Mervyn Shepherdley, on his return home from hospital and now receiving living in care. Paul and Jean Ricketts' daughter-in-law Amanda, now home and clear of cancer. We pray this will continue. Christine Nisbet, recovering at home after her hip operation. Caden Edwards, now on his last few weeks of chemotherapy, and for his parents, Catherine and Simon, and for his grandparents, Derek and Elaine. We pray for Rafferty Arthur Brodie, Lund, on his baptism in Holy Trinity today. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Help the Holy Spirit to keep us free from sin and inspire us to share our Christian love with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us stand and together confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Let us sing our offertory hymn, which is number 50, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Continues with the Eucharistic prayer on page 7. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all of the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death upon the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all of the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on me. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining, and whose power we cannot comprehend, show us your glory as far as we can grasp it, and shield us from knowing more than we can bear, until we may look upon you without fear, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we come to our final hymn, which on this occasion I have remembered the hymn sheet for, so I do indeed know what the final hymn will be, it is time to find out what the Tiger Club have been up to, because I've got, you can't see this from where you're sitting, but I've got some marvellous contraptions in front of me. So could you all stand up and hold these up so that everyone can see them? And then I would like a volunteer to tell me what you have been doing. Does anyone want to say anything? What have you made?
We have made some lovely bird feeders so that we can...
It was to do with the reading about the sparrow. So we learnt about God's love for Ishmael,
yeah.
And then we learnt about God's love for the sparrow.
So we've learnt about God's love for Ishmael and how he provided water for them. But then they thought about God's love for sparrows and have made bird feeders. So the idea is you'll put seed in here, and they'll be able to come and land on it, and they'll be able to come and eat. And I think that verse about the sparrows is so wonderful, because it says that two sparrows are worth a penny. But when you try and count a flock of sparrows, it's impossible to count how many there might be, which means that you end up with an enormously large amount of value. So this is a really good reminder to us that just as we see birds coming and eating from our bird feeders, God surrounds us with what we need because he loves us. So thank you so much for sharing what you have done. Let's give them a round of applause. And it's great that they're gathered here in front of the communion table, because we're about to stand and sing our final hymn, Before the Throne of God Above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. Thank you all so much. Well done, that's brilliant.
Savior died, my simple soul is counted.
must be satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Look on him and pardon me. Behold him, the ever-risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is saved with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God, Lord, take these gifts and those which are given by so many various other ways and means, that they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.